理课堂听 class.com。
And now, the special English program, Words and Their Stories. Every week at this time, the Voice of America tells about popular words and expressions used in the United States. Some of these words and expressions are very old. Some are new. Together, they form the living speech of the American people.Our expression today is by the book. It means following rules or orders exactly as they are written. Someone who does something by the book uses no creativity or imagination to bend the rules. Instead, he or she demands that laws or rules be followed exactly.A sergeant in the army, for example, may order a soldier to arrange flags for a special ceremony. The sergeant says, "Do it by the book." He expects the soldier to arrange the flags exactly as the rules say they must be arranged. The soldier must do it by the book. A judge is another person.Who may use the expression, by the book. After the judge or a jury decides that someone is guilty of a crime, the judge must sentence the criminal. The criminal may beg for mercy. The criminal's lawyer may ask for special consideration. But the judge may refuse. He may follow the law exactly.And sentence the criminal to a long time in prison. If he does this, the judge is going by the book. People use the expression by the book in a general way to describe anyone who is exact in following orders. However, going by the book also can mean gettingand following ideas from a book. One of the best examples of this is the cookbook. Every year, Americans buy millions of cookbooks. They read them and follow the written directions for cooking with them. They go by the book. Another popular kind of book is the how-to book.Now this explains how to do something. Fix a car, build a room for a house, or plant vegetables in a home garden. Of course, not every person who reads these books will follow the directions just as they are written. A man may have his own ideas about the best way to fix a broken door. And a woman who cooks for her family every night may change the directions that she finds in a cookbook. These people do not go by the book. They use their own ideas and imagination. And who knows, if their ideas are good enough, they just might write a book of their own.Our word today is eureka. It is a kind of word called an expletive. Expletives are quick, short outcries of pain, surprise, anger, or joy. We hear them all the time. Ow! Wow! Holy smoke! Yikes! Some are considered not nice.They cannot be repeated here. An expletive or exclamation bursts from your throat without thought. It is an expression of pure emotion. It helps ease your pain or gives wing to a joyous surprise. One expletive, Eureka, is slowly going out of style. Let us examine it before it disappears altogether. Perhaps you have heard how this word came into existence. The story has been told many times. Archimedes, the great scientist of ancient Greece, lived in Syracuse at the time of King Nero II. The king had ordered a crown of gold. He suspected that his goldsmith had mixed some silver with it. The king called on Archimedes. He asked him to examine the crown to see if it was pure gold. Archimedes was puzzled. How could he learn if the crown was pure gold? One day, he stepped into the water of a public bath. He observed the water flowing over the top of the bathtub. He carefully studied the overflow. Suddenly, he realized how he could test the gold in the king's crown. He knew that gold was heavier than silver, so a piece of gold would be smaller than a piece of silver of the same weight. He could get a piece of pure gold that weighed the same as the king's crown. He could put it in a full container of water and measure how much water it displaced. Then, he could put the crown in the same container of water. If more water flowed out, the crown was not pure gold. Archimedes was so excited by this discovery that he jumped out of the public bath and ran naked through the city streets toward home. As he ran, he shouted, "Eureka! Eureka! I have found it! I have found it!" True or not, it is a delightful story. And it is an established fact that Archimedes did discover that when two objects weigh the same but are of different density, the less dense object displaces more water than the denser one. Many circus expressions have found their way into everyday speech. One such expression is to walk a tightrope. It first became popular in 1859. That is when a French acrobat, Charles Blondin, walked across a tightly pulled rope over the Niagara River in New York State. He did it high over the frightening rush of Niagara Falls. Blondin's dangerous walk was widely reported, not only in the United States, but all over the world. Soon after that, tightrope acts became popular in circuses, and they still are. People sit holding their breath, wondering what can prevent the tightrope walker from falling off that thin line so high up in the air. A tightrope walker must move slowly, keeping perfect balance on the rope so she does not fall off to one side or the other. Many people who are not circus acrobats walk a tightrope today. You walk a tightrope when you have to balance carefully between opposing sides, when you cannot take one side or the other in an argument. A negotiator between opposing groups often has to walk a tightrope if he is to succeed. He cannot appear to support one side against the other. He has to keep his balance between the two sides to stay in the middle. And balancing in the middle is what keeps the negotiator and the tightrope walker safe. P.T. Barnum was an early and very famous American showman. He traveled around the country with his circus acts, visiting town after town. To attract a crowd in each town, Barnum marched through the streets with all the members of his circus. His band played loudly as it rode on a large wagon in the parade. Everyone called it the bandwagon. Soon, a new expression became popular: to jump on the bandwagon. Political groups built bandwagons of their own during election campaigns. The bandwagons were used to attract voters to hear a candidate speak. Small boys often jumped on a bandwagon to join the musicians as they rode through the town. And sometimes local politicians would jump on the bandwagon of a state or national candidate to show their support for him. Today, the expression to jump on the bandwagon means to join a popular campaign, a campaign that seems sure to win. The expression is used at election time when someone expresses support for a candidate who seems to be leading. You jump on the bandwagon when you decide to support a candidate because public opinion studies show he is likely to win. Most of the time, black and white appear as opposites. White means light and purity. Black is darkness and evil. But not always. Sometimes the words are used differently. White hat and black hat represent the traditional meaning of the word. The hats are symbols of the good guys and the bad guys in American Western movies. White hats and black hats had a real purpose in the early days of motion pictures. The early movies were made with no sound, so the movie directors put a white hat on the hero and a black hat on his opponent, the bad guy in the story. That way, even a small child knew immediately who was the hero. A black sheep is a person who does things that are not accepted, that violate tradition. A black sheep is rejected because he brings shame to his group. A family may have a member who is thought of as a black sheep, a person who is not welcome at family gatherings. Black is also used in some expressions that describe good things. Being in the black, for example, is a good situation for anyone. It is a business expression that means a company is earning money. A store that makes a profit is in the black. The expression comes from the color of ink that is used in the books that record a company's profits or losses. Profits are written in black ink. Losses are written in red. So, when someone says his business is in the red, he means it is losing money. White usually means something good. A white collar job, for example, is the kind of job many people seek. It is a job where you work at a desk, using your brain instead of your muscles. Usually, white-collar jobs pay more than blue-collar jobs. Those jobs are where you use your muscles. Sometimes white is used in an expression that is not good. Whitewash is such an expression. At first, whitewash meant to paint over something with a white paint to make it look better. But now, whitewash has a different meaning, to hide or cover up mistakes or failures. A newspaper might report, for example, that the investigation of a train accident is a whitewash because investigators did not really try to discover who was responsible. Some expressions use black and white together. Someone may say to you that your proposal sounds all right, but he wants to see it in black and white. He wants to see your proposal in writing, black ink on white paper. Some people are said to see things only in black and white, with no middle ground between them. Most issues in the world are not so simple as black and white. One side of an issue is not all white, right or good, and the other side is not all black, wrong or evil. In the real world, there are many gray areas where black and white mix to represent the true situation.
New public opinion studies show that about 73% of Americans approve of the work President Clinton has done as their new national leader. The opinion studies were done after the House of Representatives impeached the president Saturday. One study showed that 35% of those asked approve of the majority party in the House, the Republicans. Earlier, former presidents Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter urged the Senate to condemn Mr. Clinton for his actions instead of trying him. An administration spokesman welcomed the proposal, but said it is up to the Senate to act on it. Israel. The Israeli Parliament has approved early elections after rejecting the Prime Minister's policies for making peace with the Palestinians. The elections are now expected in April, 18 months earlier than planned. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signed a new peace agreement with the Palestinians in October. He almost immediately attached new conditions to the agreement. It was those conditions Israel's parliament rejected. The Palestinians and the United States both say Israel should continue to carry out the peace agreement. It calls for the withdrawal of Israeli troops from West Bank land. The United States. General Anthony Zinni is denying Iraq's claim that civilian areas were attacked in the recent bombings. General Zinni led the four-day American-led bombing of Iraq. He said American and British planes and missiles hit only military bases and factories linked to banned chemical and biological weapons. General Zinni said Allied forces are ready to attack again at any time if it is found Iraq is trying to reset the banned weapons program. Earlier, Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz claimed that 62 Iraqi soldiers were killed and 180 were injured in the bomb attacks. Yugoslavia. New violence is reported in the Serbian province of Kosovo. Reports say government forces are shelling ethnic Albanian guerrilla positions around the northern town of Podgorica. Earlier, an attack by unknown gunmen killed a police officer and injured a woman in the town. Near the capital, Pristina, several hundred Serbs demonstrated to protest the killing of the area's deputy mayor last week. Serbian Interior Minister Rajko Stojković told the demonstrators that officials will take action. Yugoslav officials have blamed the deaths on ethnic Albanian guerrillas fighting for Kosovo independence. You are listening to the news in special English on the Voice of America. The Red Cross says it needs more than $150 million next year to provide humanitarian aid to people in 60 countries. The Red Cross says the money will be used for food, medicine, and homes for more than 23 million victims of storms, floods, and wars. This is the first time the Red Cross is using its emergency appeal to help people prepare for natural problems. The Red Cross says aid agencies would not have to provide so much emergency assistance to victims if governments developed more programs to deal with these destructive natural events. India. The Indian government has signed a defense cooperation agreement with Russia that extends their military cooperation to the year 2010. Officials signed the agreement during a two-day visit to India by Russian Prime Minister Yevgeny Primakov. It replaces a similar agreement which ended military cooperation between the two countries in the year 2000. Mr. Primakov told reporters that Russia wants India to have a permanent seat at the United Nations Security Council. He said India is a good candidate for the UN. The United States. A leading human rights organization in New York City has condemned new Serbian restrictions on the use of the computer communications link called the Internet. Human Rights Watch says Belgrade University officials have changed its internet link to prevent people from using it to find independent news and information. Human Rights Watch calls the action the latest attempt by the government of Serbia to control independent Yugoslav news. Finally, this news from China. British balloon pilot Richard Branson and his team have entered Chinese airspace. Earlier, Chinese officials had refused them permission to fly over China during their attempt to fly a balloon around the world. Mr. Branson, American Steve Fawcett, and Per Lindstrand of Sweden flew their balloon into China from Nepal. The three said they had no choice but to enter Chinese airspace because of wind conditions in the Himalaya Mountains. Mr. Branson and his crew began their around-the-world flight attempt last Friday from Morocco. Now, briefly, here again are the major news stories of the hour in special English. New public opinion studies show that about 73% of Americans approve of the work President Clinton has done as their national leader. The Israeli parliament has approved early elections after rejecting the prime minister's policies for making peace with the Palestinians. The American general who commanded the bombing of Iraq has denied Iraq's claim that civilian areas were attacked. And that's the news in special English.
Israel's parliament has voted overwhelmingly for early elections after rejecting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's tough policies for making peace with Palestinians. Elections are now expected in late April, 18 months ahead of schedule. But that is only days ahead of the May 4th deadline for Israel to reach a permanent settlement with Palestinians. Despite the upcoming election, Washington and Palestinians say they want Israel to resume implementing the Y River Peace Accord and give up more West Bank land. The United Nations Security Council will continue talks on Iraq today. Council members are trying to reach a consensus on what to do next concerning Iraq. VOA's Max Weston reports from our UN Bureau.
Diplomats say the Council agrees on two key issues: the need to expedite humanitarian assistance to Iraq and to ensure that it meets its obligations under Security Council resolutions. But they say the Council is divided over how to pursue the second of those goals when it comes to ensuring that Iraq no longer has any weapons of mass destruction. Some council members are now proposing a reconstitution of the UN Weapons Inspection Commission, UNSCOM, in an effort to make it more acceptable to Iraq. They say it is too late for the present commission to build a cooperative relationship with Iraq. U.S. and British diplomats agree it is important for weapons inspections to continue in Iraq, but they do not see any reason to alter the composition of UNSCOM, which they say has been effective and well-run. Max Rustin, VOA News, United Nations.
President Clinton's job approval rating has gone up, even as he faces the prospect of a Senate trial in the Monica Lewinsky scandal that could lead to his removal from office. 73% of those surveyed by the New York Times newspaper and CBS News said they approve of the way Mr. Clinton is doing his job. He enjoyed similar marks in several other polls. The Republicans' popularity rating was around 35%. The Republican-led House voted Saturday to impeach Mr. Clinton for perjury and obstruction of justice. Vice President Al Gore referred to that vote in remarks Monday at the White House.
I believe that Saturday's vote in the U.S. House of Representatives was wrong. Wrong for our Constitution and wrong for America.
Mr. Clinton's fate now rests with the Senate, which is expected to hold a trial early in the new year. U.S. scientists have lost contact with a spacecraft heading toward an unprecedented mission to circle an asteroid next month. VOA science correspondent David McAlary reports mission controllers are hopeful the mission can unlock secrets to the history of the solar system.
The spacecraft, known as the Near-Earth Asteroid Rendezvous, or NEAR for short, went silent Sunday, just 3 weeks before its planned January 10th encounter with the asteroid Eros, 380 million kilometers from Earth. The Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, which built and operates the craft for the U.S. Space Agency, says the communication loss occurred when NEAR was undergoing an engine burn to slow it and put it in the correct alignment for approach. The spacecraft is to spend almost 1 year sensing the 25-kilometer-long chunk of space rock from a 15-kilometer-high orbit. Since asteroids are one of the building blocks of the solar system, scientists hope to learn more about the earliest stages of planetary evolution. But a mission official says if communication with NEAR is not restored within a day, the January 10th rendezvous may have to be postponed. David McAlary, VOA News, Washington.
Namibia and Zimbabwe have denied claims by Angola's UNITA rebels that they've sent troops to help in the Angolan government's offensive against UNITA. Namibia's chief of staff said the only Namibian troops in Angola are members of a UN mining operation. Zimbabwe military spokesmen also denied involvement.